Last week we looked at chapter 3 and how Jonah actually obeyed the word of the Lord, went to Nineveh and preached the message. And the last verse reads this way. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And everybody said, amen. Father, we thank you now for the word of God. And we thank you, O God, for your promises, Lord, to man. We thank you, Lord, that as we look at your word, Lord, that something is going to resonate within us, the truth of God. Lord, may it change us. May it transform us. Lord, as we hear your voice speaking, Spirit agreeing with the word in a dynamic fashion, we thank you for it now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 So we said last week, listen, whenever God sends a warning, it's because he wants to have mercy. He never sends a warning. Listen, if God wanted to wipe out the Ninevites, you don't send a warning. You know, you just pass judgment and everyone's wiped out. But God sent Jonah to Nineveh to declare a message. Now, Jonah had that, he kind of had that mess mixed up. He wanted to see the Ninevites destroyed. And whenever we're like that, we really need to check our hearts, even if it's our enemy. Because Jesus said, you have heard in time past to love, you love your family, but you hate your enemy. You love your family. But he says, I say unto you, love your enemies. Right? And so Jonah was from the old school. Jonah was from the old school. Now, so we see here that God, when he saw their works, God changed. Why? Because they had repented. God relented from the disaster that he said that he would bring upon them. Jonah knows God. He knows what the law says. Listen at what Jeremiah wrote. Jeremiah 18:7-11, it reads this way. The instant, this is the Lord speaking, the instant that I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull it down, to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. This is God speaking. Okay? Now, Jeremiah, you know, he came before, if I understand it right, he may have not, before Jonah's ministry. But God had already spoken and said that if I speak concerning a nation to destroy it, if the people will repent and turn from their sins, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant that I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build, to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I thought, which I said I would benefit it. Now, therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. This is God talking to Judah. And he said to them, return now everyone from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. And so when God sent Jonah to Nineveh to declare the judgment, God had already had it in his person that if the people repent and turn from the sins. And one wonders, did Jonah tell them that? 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. But did Jonah add this? But if you repent, you can live. Now, how many of you know Jonah hated the Ninevites? We all understand that, okay? Because Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And the Assyrian Empire, they would go in there and wreak havoc amongst the Israelis. Why? Because God would have, you know, God uses nation to correct nation. He uses people to correct people. He uses the police to correct us when we think we're going to get out of line. And he has methods of correction. And so he used nation to correct the nation. And so he used Assyria to correct Israel. Israel didn't take too kindly to that. And so Jonah hated them because of it. So God sends this prophetic warning because he did not want the people of Nineveh to perish. Thus God was having mercy on them. Whenever God speaks to man, he's having mercy. Whenever God speaks to man, he is having mercy upon man. Oh, my God. That thing sat down in my spirit, you see. Because anytime man knows anything about God, it only comes through the self-revealing God. He has to reveal it because man doesn't know God. Man could never know God except for that God reveals himself. So if God said nothing, the people of Nineveh would have simply been destroyed. God wanted repentance on behalf of the people. Why? So he could spare them. God did not want to destroy Nineveh. And 2 Peter tells us that God is not willing that any should perish. But hold on, God, what about if that people is my enemy? What about if that person is the person that just went upside my head and just walked me one good, and I want some revenge. I want to get back. Well, see, because that's the case Jonah was in. These Ninevites, these were the enemies of Israel. I know all about that, you see, because I'm going to share a little personal story. How that, you see, so I walk outside Friday night, and we live in a place that's governed by a homeowners association, as many of you are. And there's some folk who leave their trash can out all week long. And the trash can, and when the wind blows, for some odd reason, our house is the house that when the wind blows trash, guess whose house it gathers at? Am I telling the truth, honey? If wind blows anywhere, everything comes right up into our driveway, right up against our wall. And guess who has to go out and clean it up? Now, let me tell you something. You clean it up one time. You clean it up two times without any attitude. But we've been living there for 15 years. Let me tell you something. When you've been cleaning up other people's trash, pizza boxes, receipts, everything blowing up, man, you get mad. You know, you get a little attitude about yourself. I'm identifying with Jonah. I know. So Friday night, I went outside because I saw one of the guys who was on the board. He was across the street talking to my neighbor. So I went out there, hey, Mike. Hey, what's up? I said, you see these trash cans here? I said, you see them? He says, yeah. I said, what's today? Today's Friday, trash day. People pull trash cans in. Can't you do something about this? You need to get these trash cans. Man, I'm sitting up here like, he says, yeah, I'll get the guy working on it. And then I turned around. Well, when I said, you see the trash can? The trash cans happened to be right behind my truck, which was parked in the visitor's spot, which residents aren't supposed to park in. And so while I'm pointing out somebody else's fault, here my fault sitting right up in my face. And I'm sitting up there going, Holy Ghost, Father, help me. See, I'm like, I'm doing what Jonah's pointing over there. Lord, those people bad. Those people. No. He's all about what their predicament was. Never mind the fact. And then when I told my wife what happened, she says, and don't forget you got those things you cut down off the tree sitting out in front of y'all. That needs to be gone too, because that's a violation too. I was like, thank you, honey. But she's right. She's right. And so, Jonah's wanting to tell God how bad the Ninevites are. And he's not realizing that, you know, he's got some issues himself. So guess who needed the mercy that the Ninevites needed just as much? Jonah. All right. So now we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 4. It says this. So now after God had relented of the disasters, listen at this. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he became angry. Now, wait a second. Watch this. So, apparently, what Jonah thought that God wasn't running his kingdom quite right. Because God forgave or had mercy on these people. And Jonah gets upset. He's mad. He's angry. Because God had mercy on these people. But there is a scripture in the book of James that says that the wrath of man or the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. You know, When what God does displeases us exceedingly, we have a serious problem. Let me say that again. When what God does displeases us, never mind exceedingly, when what God does displeases us, brother, we have a problem. We have a real problem. Now, all of us go through this. You have a spouse, you have children, you drive. There's all kinds of things that displeases us. And we're good at letting people know about it too. But how do we act when God allows something good and beneficial to happen to those we're at odds with? How do we act? It's a matter of the heart. We see all through the scripture instances of this displeasure and anger. In Genesis 4 and 6 was the account of Abel and Cain. And the Bible says that they both offered up one of his flock, Abel, the other of his produce. And the Bible says this: God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but to Cain. And so we know the story that Cain ends up slaying Abel. Why? Because he's angry. And God came to Cain and said, he says, wait a second, why are you angry? He said, sin is crouching at your door. He says, and if you don't master it, it will master you. And Cain ends up slaying his brother. And the Lord had come to him and said, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? How many of you know when God asks you a question, he's never looking for knowledge? Hello? Let me say that again. When God asks you a question, he's never looking for knowledge. He has all knowledge. And he definitely ain't going to get none from you or from me. Is that right? So he comes and he asks. But you know, other instances in the Old Testament in particular, in 1 Samuel, you'll remember David came back from the slaying of Goliath. The women came out and said, Saul has killed his thousands, but David, his tens of thousands. The Bible says this saying displeased Saul, and he became angry. But really, he became angry at something God had done, because God was the one who slayed Goliath. David just happened to be in the vicinity. But, you know, God was the one who did it, but it displeased Saul with what God did. Yeah, though it was, aimed at David, it was certainly the hand of God that got that done. And so we see 1 Kings 20, Ahab did the same thing because a prophet, he was displeased because his prophet told him, you haven't been doing what the Lord wanted you to do. And he got displeased and angry and sullen all about that. And then again, later in Ahab's life, Naboth had a vineyard next to the king's palace, and Ahab looked at that vineyard. He said, man, I want that vineyard. And so he went to Naboth, and he says, will you sell me your vineyard? Naboth said, man, no way. The Lord says, this is my property forever. You cannot have what the Lord has given me. And Ahab went and got up in his room all sulking and sullen and withdrawn, and he was displeased and angry about that. And that's when Jezebel, killed Naboth and took the vineyard. But he was angry. He was upset. He was displeased at what God had set in order. And in all these cases, what we see is that selfishness was a problem. Ain't nobody in here selfish, is it? I mean, you don't see glimpses of selfishness that have. Well, no. But most of the time when we get angry, we find that that's at the root. That's at the center. Oftentimes. Not every time, but oftentimes. That was definitely the case with all these people. That was definitely the case with Jonah. Jonah was mad. He was displeased and he was angry because God didn't do to the Ninevites what Jonah wanted done to the Ninevites. God did to the Ninevites what God wanted to do to the Ninevites. He wanted to have mercy. You know what? So instead of listen. We ought to be about seeing the Lord's will done in our lives. We ought to be living. Listen, I was created for him, not him for me. I exist for him, not him for me. Now, I know some people have painted God as this big Santa Claus in the sky. You pray and get whatever you want. I'm here to tell you right now, that's a bunch of hogwash. That is not true. No, we exist for him. Okay? And so, you know, did Jonah, instead of getting with God's plan, instead of, you know, wanting what God wanted, he's pouting and he's mad and he's angry because he wants what he wants. So in verse 2, it goes on and it says this. So he, Jonah, prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord." Yeah, this is the passage that I was talking about earlier. "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my own country?" In other words, when the word of the Lord came to Jonah in chapter 1, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to them. Jonah had this conversation with God. And he told God, "I'm not going." Listen at what Jonah says. He says, "Was this not what I said when I was still in my own country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." Now, about that time, the shout would be on. But this is a man who's mad now. But he's describing a God that he knows. Listen, if you know anything about God, you know it by his divine revelation. You know it because he revealed it to you. That alone ought to give you thanks. What's Jonah doing? He's complaining. And God has revealed himself to Jonah, but Jonah doesn't take any delight in that. He says, "I told you when I was still in my own country, I'm not going because I know how you are." If you know how God, if anyone knows how God is, we ought to be thankful. He's gracious and slow to anger. Who was quick to anger in this story? Jonah. Who's slow to anger? God. God, the only reason why Jonah made it through this whole thing is because God is slow to anger with the angry. You the angry one, but I'm going to be merciful and I'm going to be slow to anger with you because I could wipe you out in a moment. Anyone remember Word of Faith preacher, Oral Roberts. I think it was 1998, something, 96, where he said God told him to raise money for this. Yeah, whatever the thing, he said, "If you don't, I'm going to kill you." That's what God told him. He says, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take you home." And he got on the news and said, and they raised the money and everything. You know? It ain't been the first time. I was working with a guy one time. He said God told him to go into the ministry and he wouldn't. Next thing, he's sick. He said, God said, "I'm going to kill you." And I'm sitting there cracking up. I'm trying to keep myself together. I'm saying, "Are you serious?" Okay, that's your experience, not mine. And so Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because God wanted to have mercy on the people. Listen, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because God wanted to have mercy on the people through the prophetic word that Jonah was to preach. And Jonah didn't want any part of it. Now, it's amazingly hard for me to imagine this, that Jonah is wrestling with God and talking to God about, you know, "I know how you are, but I don't like how you're going to be that way towards these people. So you need to change." Because that's basically what Jonah is saying. You know, "God, I don't like the way you're doing this." So what Jonah wanted became more important to Jonah than what God wanted. Hello? What Jonah wanted became more important to Jonah than what God wanted. Brother, when we get in that situation, look out. Because we're about to learn the lesson that Jonah learned. Jonah learned that that's not how it goes as a servant of God. Because that's what chapter 1 was all about in chapter 2. You want it your way? That's not going to happen. Okay? So he ends up in the belly of a fish. Jonah wanted what he said to stand versus what God said to stand. What we know about God came by revelation from God, and it is not to be considered trivial. The understanding that Jonah had of God, he treated as a light common thing. He says, "I know that you're gracious, slow to anger, but I'm not paying any attention to that. I'm going to go on to Tarshish. I'm going to do my thing." And God said, oh, hold, wait a second, back up. It don't work like that. It doesn't work like that. And so, listen at Deuteronomy chapter 4, 32 through 36, just that we value the knowledge that we have of God. Listen at this. God speaking, for ask now concerning the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, whether any great thing like this has happened or anything like it has been heard. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard, and live? Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord himself is God. There is none other besides him. So what God showed to the Jews, to the Israelis, was, God said, it's never been done what I did to you. So treasure it, value it. Don't cast it off as something common and trivial and to be treated lightly. What Jonah knew about God, he didn't agree with concerning Nineveh. He didn't want God to be gracious, merciful, slow to anger, because he disagreed with God. So what actually happened was this. What Jonah wanted for the Ninevites in chapter 1 by not going and preaching, he actually reaped. Jonah didn't want to go and preach because he thought the people would turn, repent, and turn. He wanted them all to die. What happened to Jonah in chapter 1? He was the one who ended up going into the belly of the fish. He was the one who ended up needing mercy. He was the one who was going to die. But God had mercy on him. Jonah was a dead man because he didn't want to do the will of God. A prophet who didn't want to do the will of God. God said, okay, what you want for them, I'll give to you. But God had mercy on Jonah, because in the belly of that fish, Jonah came to himself. He said, they that regard lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He began to repent. Chapter 2, it says, and Jonah cried out to the Lord from the belly of that fish, and he repented, and because he repented, God had mercy on him. Now God, what he taught the prophet, he's going to go and teach the Ninevites. And so it's all tied together. God's mercy is truly amazing, because Jonah didn't want God to have mercy on the Ninevites, yet he received the very mercy of God himself in being delivered from the fish. When you or I would write someone off, God continues using them and preparing them while having mercy upon them. Because if it were you or I dealing with Jonah, you done. Get out of my sight. I'm through with you. I don't want to use you. You won't listen. You won't do what I tell you to do. Because as we'll see, Jonah wants mercy for himself, but not for the Ninevites. He is a picture of human selfishness. And yet he's a covenant man. He's a prophet. God patiently corrects this self-absorbed prophet. God patiently corrects this self-absorbed prophet. The Bible says this, every son that God has, he chastens and he corrects. God was considering Jonah a son, even though Jonah was acting like a wicked man. God was patient to correct him. You know that sometimes you run up people in your life and you've known people that just can't get it right. And you're like, phew, Lord, I don't know if that person ever get it right. And God's all the while, he's having mercy. You see them later. I mean, Paul went through it with Mark. When Mark left them in the ministry in the book of Acts, Paul said, that's it. You're done. Paul was through. But Barnabas, God through Barnabas, took Mark and molded and shaped him. And later on, when Mark came back, Paul was looking at a different Mark. But see, Paul had given up on Mark. But the Lord hadn't given up on Mark. See, if some people would have given up on Jonah, Lord, no, I said, boy, get it. You ain't clean the carpet right. Get out of here, man. You don't know what you don't know, want to do it right. You ain't listening to me. Get on out of here. Look, later on, he's the premier five-star technician. He's looking like, what happened to you, right? I mean, that's what God does. That's what he's doing with Jonah. Because he's so patient. When the Bible says he is slow to anger, come on. We who've been walking with the Lord a while, we know exactly what that means. See? Because when you come back for the umpteenth time, Father, forgive me. And you're expecting to hear, I don't told you and I ain't telling you again. You're expecting to hear the words of a man. But he forgives, he cleanses, he forgets, he washes it away. And you're a son, you're a daughter, you're in his presence. And you keep walking with him. So it is with Jonah, this prophet. So Jonah says, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now, this is some extreme language. Reminds you of Elijah, who said in 1 Kings 19, you remember the 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the Asherah. He calls down fire and all that, and they kill the prophets and everything, and Israel, you know, is getting back right with God. Well, after that, Jezebel got wind of it, and she sent a messenger to Elijah and says, listen, he says, I'm going to take your head off. I'm going to make you like one of these prophets you killed. She said, I'm going to get you. And so Elijah takes off for his life. And in 1 Kings 19:4, it says, but he, Elijah himself, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now. Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. But in Elijah's case, he was talking about, you know, Lord, I've done everything I know to do. I'm no better than my father's. I'm going to end up like my father. She's going to kill me. I'm going to be a martyr. That's what he was saying. Take my life. I'm going to end up a martyr. Jonah wasn't saying that. Jonah was saying, I didn't get like the two-year-old, you know, sitting in the middle of the grocery aisle. Anybody ever been there? You've been shopping, and you see some two-year-old child laying it out in the floor. Because they didn't get the little candy thing. And they lay it out on the floor. Spiritually, this is what Jonah reminds you of. I want to die. I'm going to hold my breath. And like God's supposed to go, hold it. No, I got a remedy for that. When they're holding their breath, if you apply some pressure to the posterior, their mouth will immediately open. They will gasp for air. Oh, you can end that real good. Go on, go ahead and hold your breath. I got something for you. Oh, yeah. I'm going to help you because I love you so much. See, every son or daughter, you chasing them. Go ahead and hold your breath. Well, I've been there. We're going to fix it. And so this is what Jonah's doing. He says, you know, I just want to die. Take my life. It's better for me to die than to live. And, you know, scholars have argued over this. And I believe it was, John Calvin who said he was arguing for the dignity of God. He did not want many scholars dismissed that, and they went with what Martin Luther said. Martin Luther said the reason why he wanted to die was that he was hostile to the city of Nineveh, and he still held a Jewish and carnal view of God. Here he implies that Jonah was displeased at the fact that God had spared the city and was angry because he had not destroyed it as he had preached and would gladly have seen. So Jonah's angry because he wanted to see Nineveh destroyed. He preached it. He prophesied it. And God didn't do it. And now he's upset. So it's better for me to die than live. And, wow. Also, because Nineveh repented at his preaching, Israel hadn't repented. And he knew that God would use Nineveh to correct Israel. As God often, you read the whole book of Judges. God sent the Midianites. God sent the Philistines. God sold his people into the hand of the Canaanites or whoever it was, because God was correcting Israel. But when our desires for a people, person, or situation mean more to us than God's desire for a people, person, or situation, we're going to find ourselves in a very bad way.
a very, very bad way, as was Jonah. Verse 4 goes on and says, and we're only going to verse 5. Verse 4, he says, then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Is it right? Now, remember what I just said. When God asks you a question, he's never looking for knowledge. When God asks us a question, it's because he's waiting for us to get it. He's waiting for us to get it. Do you get this? Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? You know, and God would know, see, because when God gets angry, it is always just, it's always right, it's always proper. When God gets angry. And believe me, God does get angry. The Bible says he's angry with the wicked every day. Hello. Which is why we're in need of a Savior. Which is why Jesus had to come and die on that cross. But when we get angry, it's typically because we didn't get what we think we should have gotten. Things didn't happen our way. Never mind what is just or right or merciful. See? Jonah wanted something for the Ninevites when, in fact, the Ninevites weren't offending him. The Ninevites were offending God. Their wickedness had risen, just like Sodom's wickedness had risen and come up to heaven. And God said, I will go now and see if it's such as they say it is. And so the Ninevites were offending God. They weren't offending Jonah. Yet he was angry. He was angry, but through God's mercy and Nineveh's repentance, God's anger was appeased, right? So Jonah, to answer the question, Jonah had absolutely no right to be angry. He had absolutely no right to be angry. Have we ever been angry with no right to be so? Anybody ever been? No, I'm going to stop here with this particular verse. You know, anger is a huge problem, not only in the world, but even in the church. Okay? All you have to do is turn on the news and read about the actor who shot his wife, I think my wife said, 5 times, with children in the house. Now, how you get in such a rage that you shoot your wife 5 times? Listen, that's not just anger. That's deep-seated, long-held resentment and bitterness. Something in you had sat there and packed down so long that it came out as rage, and you just lost your mind that you would kill your wife. And then there's this young boy out in California who's a director's son who killed 6 people because of some relationship he had. And there were warning signs and everything, but I just read the article last night. And you see anger everywhere. Here, Jonah is angry, and the Lord's asking him. God says, listen, is it right for you to be angry, Jonah? Of course, Jonah thinks he's right and everything. That's a whole nother problem. But listen at what the New Testament says to us. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger. You know, when I'm driving down the road, I had to go to Baltimore the other day, and I'm driving to clean some carpet. So I'm driving, I'm up in close to my destination. And you know how some people drive. They just drive. But anyhow, so this young lady comes to make her turn. She doesn't make it full the way. She just stops. She just stops in the middle of the road and starts talking to these 2 gentlemen, these people that she knows on the other side of the road. Just stop. Now, here I've been driving. You have to understand, I was sitting in traffic for an hour. The traffic not moving. It's just backed up. And so finally I get through, and I'm going, and she stops. And she knows I'm behind her. And she just stops and starts talking. And I don't know, maybe you're not like me, but see, when I get in a situation like that, I start thinking about all kinds of ways to let you know. I can't, in my mind, I've invented contraptions that spray out white paint all over the back of your car. Or you may get away, but I done made my mark Oh, yeah, yeah. I think about all, you know, and you know where that comes from? Anger. See, I'm not getting what I want. And you're in my way. See, that's right. Now, she's wrong, right? Nineveh was wrong, but still, I had no place, I had no right to be angry, right? And so, I don't know if you find the Holy Ghost talking to you the way I find the Holy Ghost talking to me, but he be asking me, son, now, are you right to be all upset about that chick who stopped in the middle of the road? And when it comes down to it, the answer is, of course, no. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me. So it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. And that's where it starts. Evil speaking be put away from you. I know you've had the Holy Spirit check you when you said something about somebody before. He said, back that up. Don't go there. Colossians 3:8 says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these. The Holy Spirit is getting ready to tell us something that we can do by his power living in us, by his taking up residency within us. He says, you now can put off all these. First one is anger. You can put it off. You mean I don't have to get angry? No. You can choose. You can choose. No. I had somebody, I was telling some folks yesterday how they called me back up to Baltimore after I had done a job and looked like I had done it legitimately. I'm thinking I had messed up and everything. So I drove an hour and a half back to Baltimore to get to the spot and find out that the job, in my view, was perfect. Nothing was done. And I drove an hour and a half, burnt my gas, tired out of my mind. And how many of you know, when I saw that carpet looking good, just a little, the anger meter just kind of went up just a little bit. I said, Jesus. When I thought I had done wrong, I was all good. I said, I'm going to make good. You know, if I messed up, I'm going to make good. But the moment I found out that everything was right, then the anger meter busts up to here. And there's steam flying out my ears. My whole Friday night's gone, my life. But God said, put off these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Okay, it's okay to be angry, but don't stay angry. Take care of it, right? Now, Jonah was angry for a long time. Matter of fact, when we get to the end of this next week, you will find that though God corrected Jonah, it doesn't appear that Jonah ever got over his anger. Interesting. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for divine truth. We thank you, O God, that it is you who have made us and are making us, not we ourselves. So all the things that we need to put off, the things that we need to lay down, the things that we need to avoid, Lord, as in the life of Jonah the prophet, I thank you that by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit living within us, you will accompany us and allow us to do that for your glory and for our good. So I ask your blessing, Lord, upon the word as it's gone forth, the blessing upon your people, our hearts, our emotions, our physical bodies, Lord. All this week we pray in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you real good.